Tonight would be a good night if you could grab something to write on, because I'm going to give you a couple, some thoughts tonight, and this is going to really help some people tonight. I'm going to share several scriptures with you, but I want to talk about patterns tonight in our lives and how to create new patterns. A lot of times when I, you know, when you think of a pattern, you may think of a myriad of things. You may think of the clothes that you wear matching up. But patterns are things that we do on a regular basis. For some, it's who and what you're identified about, the patterns in your life. Some people have great patterns. Others have not so good of patterns. And some, regardless whether good or bad, some that have bad patterns, they just give up and they just say, well, that's just who I am. Some that have good patterns could even go to another level and make those patterns even greater, because sometimes that when we enhance what God has given us and we go to that level where he's called us to, it not only brings joy to our lives, but it brings joy to the people that are around us as well, to our families. You know, when you do good, people that are around you are going to do good. When we were singing that song tonight, strength, what was the first one, Ryan? The joy of the Lord is my strength. As I was standing there singing that, and I love the song and everything about it, but sometimes people struggle with that because they have no joy. And many times, it's not because God doesn't want to give joy to your life or give you good things. It's because sometimes the patterns in our life lead us into a pathway that brings pain, brings hurt, brings challenge to us, and we need to break out of that. We need to get out of that and experience something different. Negative patterns in our lives create negative consequences. It doesn't matter what it is. And sometimes you can make even minimal adjustments to your pattern, and it'll take you into the purpose that God has called and created for. Let me get this to you. I want you to hear this right now. There's not a person in here. I don't care how old you are, where you come from, even what you're up to right now in your life. There is a particular calling on your life that God has associated and connected with you in your DNA for you to do something great for him. Every one of you. And that could come in a myriad of different ways. It doesn't mean that, you know, being great is being a great success in business. Maybe it's being a great mom, being a great wife. Maybe it's just being great to some of your friends and just being a good friend. It's not connected to as the world looks at success. Not that you can't have that success and make you great, but I want you to know tonight, unless we really look at these patterns in our lives and allow God to make some adjustments in them, nothing will ever change, because if you keep on doing what you always did, you just get the same feeling over and over again. And it could lead to heartache. It could turn into something that you just regret down the road. And I love the saying that Vince Lombardi said, that winning is a habit and so isn't losing. Some people have made a habit of just losing. And God, you know, sometimes people within the church, within believers, when they hear people say that God wants you to win, they just say, well, no, I don't want to win. You know, I just want to please God. Sometimes people think, you know, the lower I get, the more dirt I lick off the floor, the better God will love me. That's not true. God wants you to win. You can win as being a great husband, a great father. How many of you ever watched the program Undercover Boss? Dear Jesus, that messes me up. My wife said to me the other night, I'm watching it. I watched it a while ago, and I thought, I'm going to record this. So I record them, and I was watching it, and my goodness, the man, he was the COO and the president of Roto-Rooter. It's just crazy stuff. He's telling this story. He's meeting this guy out on a job, and the guy was a former alcoholic and a drug addict, and he's been clean for 6 years. And here's the CEO listening to his story, and he starts to cry because his dad was an alcoholic, but now you know, he's not, the son isn't, he's got a great family, and he said his dad was never a great dad, and his dad died, and he and his dad never reconciled, and oh my goodness, and I'm watching this thing, and I fell apart. I was sobbing, and my wife got up out of the chair, came over and hugged me. Honey, we can't watch this anymore, because it's just making you feel so bad. And I mean, I am bawling and bawling, and I wasn't just bawling because of what was happening there. I was bawling, part of it was that God's, the joy that he's brought in my life, because I was that guy with my dad being that alcoholic and dying, and I never had any reconciliation with him personally. And now, here the Lord has allowed me to be a dad and have great sons and great grandkids, and what a blessing that is. And I watched that, and I'm just, my gosh, I'm telling you, I fell apart. And then every time I watch it, I want to come to work the next day, and I want to bless everybody that works for me here at the church. I'm not kidding you. And they'll tell you someday, I've called them up, I've brought coffee to them all. I've told them one time a few months ago, I watched, I got up to meet me all at the Hess station. I took them all, I filled every one of their cars up with gas, didn't I? I ought to hear some amen from the staff here. I just want to be a blessing. And that wasn't always that way in my life. I mean, I remember growing up and my dad, you know, taking me to the hotel. Somebody that just asked me this week, did you have that relationship with your dad? I said, you know what he did? He'd come home from work, ask my mother for money, and then he'd say, you want to ride in the car with me? And I knew where we were going to go, but I wanted to be with my dad. I got to watch her. I'll break down right here, fall apart. You just have to all come up and console me here. He'd take me with him. We'd go down to that damnable Byron Hotel. Sorry. Strike that from the... He'd say, sit in that corner there. He'd be up at that bar. He'd be drinking for 2-3 hours. And he'd get me a Coke and a glass. It was warm. It tasted... I had to sit there at that little table in that dirty little hole of a bar and watch my father up at that bar sit there, get drink, fraternize with people up there, and then go home and slap my mother and beat up all of us kids. That was my childhood. But I want you to know something today. That's not who I am now. I am not that person. My boys have never seen me sit up at the bar. I've never taken them in there. They've never seen me drink or get drunk. Never have they ever. And that wasn't something that I just woke up someday and I said, okay, you know, I'm just going to be different. It was through trusting God, putting my faith in him, saying, God, I don't have the power, because what I said I wouldn't do and I wouldn't be, even at 30, my dad was, he was gone out of my life. He was dead when I was 13, and he was gone when I was 11, after my brother was killed. And at 13, 14 years old, I'm full on drinking. The very thing that I said I wouldn't do, I started doing. Because there was no God in me to help me and to lift me up from where I was and to take me. You can have all the good intentions that you want in the world, but without the power of God's Holy Spirit coming alongside of you and helping you, you can't do nothing. Come on, you ought to say amen to that. Now, bearing my heart and soul to you tonight. And sometimes people just settle into a pattern, but the Bible says you have to move in a direction. You have to make Christ the center of your life. James 2:17 doesn't say just with that. It says faith without action, faith without works. Not only do you trust him with your life and you believe for better, now you start to walk in that direction. You have to make a move in that direction, and you have to step out and see, what does God have for me? Where does he want to take me? And then move in that direction and make the changes in our lives. Listen to me now. I know I'm helping somebody. I feel that pull on who I am right now. I feel that. You have to move beyond where you're at. But sometimes people are disciplined at some things that have no value to them at all. And we miss some of the greatest opportunities that God wants to give to us because we never open up our heart. We never say, okay, God, I want your best for my life. I want your best for my life. I stopped over to see the kids before I came in here tonight. And Nicole was teaching them, and I opened up the door, and they stopped, and they all looked at me. I said, I'm sorry. And they just all sat there looking at me, and I said, do you want to ask me anything? And Alex asked me, where'd you get that cool vest? And I said, I got it at T-shirts, etc. They made it for me. I said, this vest has been in Africa, in Israel, in Ireland, in France. And as I'm saying that, I'm thinking of what I was going to talk about tonight. I was thinking about that little boy that sat at that little corner table in that dirty hotel, that dirty little beer joint that we used to call it when we were kids, with no hope for a future. And here I am telling him about this vest. And I'm reminded of everything that God has done in my life. Not because I'm anything special, but because I connected with who is special and who is able to change my circumstance. And he can change yours tonight too. So what gets us to make the change? Well, there's a few things. Sometimes pain makes us change. We don't like it. But when we feel the heat, sometimes we get moving. That's what the prodigal did. He came, the Bible says he came to himself. Sometimes we don't feel. Sometimes people don't change until they feel the heat. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say that? And it can come in a myriad of ways. And then when we feel the pain, we have a decision to make at that point. We can either follow after God or we can let the pain create more emotional misery, depression, anger, and be all upset about where we are, and we created where we are, but we're there. And God says, okay, you hit this wall, you hit this bottom, and I want to lead you out of this. Proverbs 20, verse 30 in the Good News Translation says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Is that not true or what? My goodness. And I don't like that. And do you know what an eagle, when the mother eagle wants her children to grow up, her little eaglets, you know what she does? She feeds them. She loves on them. You'll watch little YouTube videos. She'll bring them up the worms and she'll drop them in their mouth and all. Mommy eagle. And she'll be so nice and she'll feed them and she'll bless them and she'll keep them warm and she creates this nice little feather bed. But then when the day comes, when she looks at them and she says, you're too big for this nest, something's got to change. You know what she does? She begins to pull out all them soft little feathers that made them little eaglets feel so comfy in that little spot. And all of a sudden, their bony little behinds are feeling all the sticks that put that nest together, and it's just creating uncomfort. And all of a sudden, when they don't get the picture, she literally will kick them out of the nest. Oh, my goodness. Pain can be a motivator. Pain can get you to do things that you won't normally want to do. Pressure is another one. Pressure in our lives. You go to the doctor. He says, quit smoking or you're going to die. Lose 50 pounds or you're going to die. You don't say, I want a second opinion. I went to the doctor. He told me to lose weight. I said, I want a second opinion. He said, you're ugly too. I just like that joke. I've shared that a lot of times. Your boss says that if you don't get it together and do your job, you're going to be looking for a new job. Pressure. The teacher says, if you don't get an A on this paper, you're not going to pass this class. Pressure. And sometimes people only yield to the pressure when they get what they want. And then they just move on and they forget. And I'll tell you, if I had a nickel for every time people came into my life that were under pressure and said, Pastor, you got to help me, and help them, and God does, only to get out of the mess and go right back out and head down the same driveway that led them into the pain to begin with. Come on, do you know what I'm talking about tonight? So how do we break out of these patterns? I'm just going to give you six little thoughts here tonight. You can write these down. These might help you. I'm going to give you six of them, then we're going to be done, and then you can go get your eggs. Number one, you got to assume complete responsibility for your life. I've said this before. You have to do this. You'll meet three kinds of people in your life. I've shared this before. Accusers, excusers, and choosers. Accusers blame everyone else. It's got to be somebody else's fault. It's never my fault. No matter what has happened, it's somebody else's problem that created me to be where I am. And you know what? In some cases, that is true. But you know what I found out in life? That I can get mad and I can blame somebody for where I am. I could have blamed my father. Let me tell you something. I had a good reason not to get up. I could have blamed him. Alcoholic, beating us. I mean, I could tell you things. I haven't scratched the surface. I could tell you story on story. I could blame that. I could stay in that place. I could be discouraged and depressed the rest of my life over that. But who is it going to hurt the most? Me. I have to rise up above that. God came to Adam in the garden. He says, "What have you done?" Adam didn't say it was my fault. He said to God, "It's the woman that you gave me." And there's so many men that use that excuse over and over again. That's what he said. He says, "It's that woman you gave me, Lord." Accuser, blame everybody else. You have to accept responsibility for your life. Excuse, I was going down the thruway the other day. I had my pastor in the car. We're going to Buffalo to Pastor Tommy Reed. I mean, we're going up there. He asked me to share a few minutes up there. I mean, I'm driving down the road. I got Ron Domina, Pastor Ron. I'm the man in the car. I'm driving down the road, and I'm going along. We're talking. I mean, we're in depth. We're men of God. I look in my mirror, and I see red flashing lights coming. And I said to Pastor Ron, I go, "Man, he's coming after somebody." And I moved out of the way. I couldn't believe it. He pulled right behind me. And I'm thinking, man, he wants to get around me. And then he's, whoop, whoop. I said, "He must want to say hi to me. He wants me to talk to him." And sure enough, man, he came over and he wasn't nice to me. Told me what I was doing. I wanted to tell him that can't be true. I just said, "Oh." And then 5 minutes later, he gave me this long white paper telling me I had to go see somebody else. That's supposed to be funny. I know Pastor Ron said, "Man, you handled that really good." I go, "Well, what else are you going to do? It was me driving. I could say, oh, it was this or that. I don't even know what happened. Accept the responsibility. Just eat it and move on." And then there's the excusers. They always have a reason. I don't live in the right area. It's too cold. It's too hot. I hate this place. Oh, you know, I can't wait till I get out of here. Let me tell you something. You keep on saying you can't wait till you get out of here. All you're going to do is take you somewhere else. You don't leave you. You can deal with it right here, right now. You know, some people say, "Well, I just need a big break, so I'm going to move it." You can move all you want. That's not going to change you. You got to work on you. Come on, somebody, tonight. This guy come and told me he's had 12 jobs in a year, and he talks about, "Oh, that place is bad, that place is bad." Hey, listen, you ever hear me talking about the guy that walks in the room and he had a hat on, and he hung it up, and somebody thought they'd play a prank on him, and they put some Limburger cheese on his hat, and he put the hat on, he walked into the room where there were a lot of people, and everybody was looking, and they said, "Man, you smell." He goes, "I don't smell, it's you." Somebody else said, "Man, what's that smell?" And they say, "It's you, and it's not me." The moral of the story, if enough people tell you you stink, you probably do. The reason you're not laughing is because some of you stink. I knew that'd get more laugh. And then there's choosers. Accept responsibility where they're at. Proverbs 28:13, "You never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them, give them up, and God will give you mercy." You know how great that is? You don't have to lick the dirt off the floor to get God's attention. "I'm sorry. I did it. I was wrong. I ask you to help me. Please forgive me." And now we move on. That's what it is. Come on tonight. You have to do that. And it'll help you break out of that pattern. When you confess it, you get mercy immediately. Number two, you got to believe that you can change. You have to believe that. You have to believe that your circumstances can change. Quit saying, I can't do it. Stop that. I can't lives in the same house with I won't. Did you hear me? I can't lives in the same house as I won't. He's laughing over there because he's heard me tell him that since he was a little boy. Quit saying, I can't. You're really saying, I won't. I want you just to think about that just a minute now. Come on. Quit saying that. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Quit saying, I can't. Stop it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Quit thinking you can't. Quit thinking this is bad and that's bad. Stop that. Let God wash your mind, how you process things. Let him change those patterns in your life. You're not cool by saying you're no good. You're not cool by saying everything is bad and it's just hard on you. That's not cool. Change it. Stop thinking that you're finished and you're just washed up. Quit that. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible. Come on, everybody say that. Say, all things are possible. Say it. Say it again. Say, all things are possible. All things. He said again in Matthew 19:26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things. You have to believe that you can change and that your circumstances can change. And you have to stop saying, this is it. Life is over. I'm not going to move. I'm not going forward. We met a guy, Ryan and I. We had coffee this morning after the gym, and a guy came in and said he drove bus. And I asked him if he knew who my father-in-law was, Andy Breckenridge. He said, no, he was before me. And I said, well, if you bring his name up to the up where he drove bus, everybody will remember who he was. And he was a dairy farmer, worked hard for years. And then when he retired, he started driving bus. And he loved it. He thought he was on vacation. And he gets colon cancer, stage 4, goes through the operation. They just, you know, they say, you know, it could be a few months. You could get a year or two. I think he lived 2.5-3 years after. But he went back to work. And one Sunday, we were looking for him, couldn't find him. Drove around where the buses were, and there is my father-in-law. It's on a spring cold day. It's lightly snowing. It's just cold and damp. And he is out there on a Sunday afternoon. He's washing his school bus that he's going to drive the next day. And I pulled up and I rolled down the window. I go, what are you doing? He said, I'm washing my bus. For what? He goes, because I drive this tomorrow. I want it to look good. And I said, well, are they paying you for working today? Paying me? He says, I'm glad I've got a job. I'm thankful I'm able to get up and do this. Man, he put me in my, I just sank back in my seat. I go, okay, praise the Lord, Grandpa. Have at it. You couldn't tell him he wasn't going to do something. He could have sat in a chair and in 3 or 4 months been gone. And I'm going to tell you something. You're sick and you're afflicted or anything, okay. Life deals us tough things, but I don't have to stay in the hole that everybody says I got to live in. I can rise up out of that. I can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can say, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. I can say, if God be for me, who can be against me? And they may come at me in one way, but they'll have to flee from me in 7 different ways. I can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do great things. I can do mighty exploits in his name. I don't have to give in to all of that. And I'll tell you, if I get sick, I'm going to die saying God is going to heal me. I'm going to believe it until the moment I close my eyes. I'm going to make everybody miserable. I'm going to believe God. God can help me. Quit saying that this is over. Change that pattern in your life. Number 3, define what you want. and where you want to go. And that's the trouble with some people. You have no vision for your future. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man, he's unstable in every single way. And then the scripture says, let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he's unstable. He doesn't know where he wants to go to. You can't hold on to your negative experiences and feel, this has happened to me, so this is why I am, and also want to be delivered from them and live a greater life. You got to let it go. You have to let it go and move on and define, who has God called you to be? What does he have for you to do? You can do this. You don't have to stay lower than what everybody is. You can rise up to another level and let God use you in a great way. Know what you want. Make a decision. And even if it's wrong, you can move in that direction and God will move you around. Man, he did that with us 20 years ago. I thought we were going to live in the Northwest the rest of our life. And we sold our house, moved all the way 3,300 miles across the country, only to find out a year later we'd move all the way back and step into the destiny that God had for us. Amen. Know what you want. Number four, you can't wait for everything to be perfect before you move in that direction. And some couples, you need to hear that as well. You're waiting for everything to be perfect before you're going to get along. And let me tell you, it ain't happening. It's just not going to. I'm not going to wait until everything is just right in my home. And I'm not going to do that. Do you know where I started preaching? You want to know where? No. I started preaching to 40 cows in the barn up behind my house. They listen to me sometimes better than you do too. They looked at me. They were so intent. Their faces were long looking at me. That's where I started preaching. I mean, I preached some of the best messages to those cows. And they sat there sometimes once in a while. They'd give me an amen. It just came out a little different. You can't wait for everything to be perfect. You don't wait for it to be perfect. You don't wait till you have everything in place to start to do what you need to do. Man, I heard this thought, this man that spoke in Buffalo on Monday that we went to hear. He owns one of the top 10 greenhouses, flower shops in the whole country. And he was talking about dealing with finances. Someday I'm going to have him here. And he said, I want to just tell you a little concept. He said, I call it the greenhouse concept. He said, do you know now I have more greenhouse space than most people could ever believe. And he said, you know what I'm growing in it right now? Poinsettias. He said, nobody's thinking about wanting a poinsettia now. But he says, I'm not waiting till there's a need for them. I'm growing them right now. Some of you need to think about that. You can't wait until you need what you need in order to get it. You have to begin to step out in that place right now. Not wait for the perfect condition, but begin to believe and to begin to move in that direction that God has called you to go. Are you listening to me tonight? Number five, stop letting things and other people hurt you. Stop that. John 8:32 says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 34 says, whoever commits sin is a slave to it. They're missing the best for their life. Whatever you commit to, that is what you will serve. And you have to stop letting things, I don't know what it is, I don't get caught up in other people's business, but sometimes you're letting things hurt you. You know they're creating a hindrance in your future and in your body and in your life. And God doesn't love you any of the people say, well, God, he loves me just the way I am. And that's true. Of course he loves you the way you are. But he loves you more to leave you the way you are and to take you to where you could be. Hello? John 8:10 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness but have the light of life. When you have vision and you have hope, you see clear. And you have to stop allowing things and other people to have negative influences in your life. Now listen to me right now, just for a minute. Some of you have associated yourself with people that continually hurt you, and there is a sense of comfort in your connection with them. There is a sense of that you just have this, you have a solace in your life. Even though they hurt you, they're mean to you, and they talk down to you, and they talk negative to you, you have this connection with them, and you'll put up with it because you don't know what's beyond that. And you need to let sometimes people go that continually try to traumatize you and bring you down to make themselves look good. Man, I've been around people in my life that they've told me I wouldn't be anything, I couldn't do anything. And you know what? After a while, I not only begin to believe it and believe them, but I didn't think, because I looked at them as such a voice in my life, that I could never be anything more than what they said I could be. And nothing could be further from the truth. Let me tell you something. This, what he says about you, is what you can be. You're an overcomer. You can do all things. You are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Stop letting negative words permeate into your heart and into your soul and tear you up. God wants to change that pattern in some of your lives. I had that pattern in my life. Listen to my dad. He just talked down to us all the time. Tell us, you know, how dumb we were, how stupid we were. My dad would look at us, "You're just an ugly little boy. You don't mean nothing." And I mean, I could tell you things. You'd feel bad for me. And I'm not telling you because of that. But after a while, when you let that come into you so long, that's all you're used to. And that's what you're attracted to. But God wants you to come out of that. He wants you to hear words like, "You are born in the image and in the likeness of God." That's why it's so important to read the Word of God and know what he says about you. He created you in his image and his likeness. Psalm 139 says, "Well, while you were yet being formed in your mother's womb," he said, "I was there. I saw your substance yet unformed." God was there. He speaks over you. He sings over you, the scripture says in Lamentation. He declares good things over you. Get that other stuff out of your mind. Practice. If you need help with it, get help. Some of you need to, you know, in some churches they talk, you know, if you say go to a counselor, you know, some churches say, "Oh, counselors, you don't need that. Counseling is of the devil." Nothing could be further from the truth. A counselor is a gift to humanity. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are. And if you need the help, get some help. You don't necessarily maybe have to go to one and pay $90 or $100 an hour, but some of you may have to. And if you can do it, do it. But you may just need somebody. We got men and women in the church here. You look for people that got gray hair. Yeah. You can't go wrong. Or no hair. Wayne, yeah. And then do it now. Do it now. Proverbs 27:1, "Don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Stop saying, "I'm going to do it one of these days." Come on. Stop waiting. Your destiny is ahead of you. It's spring. It's going to warm up one of these days. Stop saying, "I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to do it when springtime. I'm going to do it when the summer comes. I'm going to start eating better. I'm going to go to the gym one of these days. I'm going to go get a physical. I'm going to get checked up." People are dying because they're too bullheaded to go to the doctor and say, let them say, "Take your clothes off, put this on, I'll be in 5 minutes. No guy wants to hear that. Nobody. But you need to. Come on, man. Psalm 39:4, New Living Translation, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered." I use this scripture at every funeral I ever speak. "Remind me that my days are numbered, that my life is fleeting away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is a moment to you. Human existence is brother breath. Isn't that unbelievable? Do it when?
Now.
Do it when?
Now.
Say it one more time. When?
Now.
Amen. Yeah. I like that, kids. Thank God. I tell you about that undercover boss thing again. Messed me up. They showed a guy in there. He got done with work. And he went and took a bunch of kids that had no fathers and no home. Took them to a gym. And started playing basketball with them. That was why I was crying too. I said, honey, we're going to get that gym. And we're going to get people that will help. And we're going to get kids that are lonely, that don't have any father in their home. And we're going to be fathers. We're going to help them. We're going to love them. We're going to hug them. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. Close your eyes with me. Thank you, God. Lord, you're so kind to us. So good to us. We want to change. We want to be who you've called us to be. We need your help tonight, God. We need your help from the youngest that is here to the oldest. I just ask you, Lord, as kind as you always are to us, you're so gentle, that you would extend that which you've done for so many, including myself, that beautiful holy hand from heaven upon our lives, and help move us. Help, God, some of us, it's so hard to move, so hard to make that decision. I just ask you, God, for that help tonight. We need you, Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. God, help us tonight. God, and for those who just simply ask you tonight, help me, God. I pray that even while I'm speaking and before they leave this building, your supernatural strength will come in them. For some of them, it's tonight. It's going home and making a difference. It's starting first thing tomorrow morning. It's not waiting till next Monday. It's not waiting till the weekend. It starts tomorrow. God, bless you, these beautiful people tonight that you gave your life, you died for, shed your blood for. Bless them, I pray. Use them greatly. Protect them. Those who are here tonight that are sick in their body, I pray healing over them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. God, those who are related and connected to this body, those that I might not even know of tonight, but somebody else knows that are sick, I pray you'd strengthen them, you heal their body, God. We love you. We trust you with our lives and with our future tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you so much. I thank God for you so much. Hug somebody before you leave. Now, don't forget, Kathy's going to be right next door in the Generation Center. It's right next to where the youth are. You'll see the orange cones out. Some of you have never been in a food pantry. You just stop over there and stick your head in there and see what they do twice every week. Feed nearly 600 people a month out of that food pantry. So hug somebody, shake somebody's hand before you leave, bless somebody, and stop over there tonight. Be a blessing, okay? I love you. Bless you.